In our Bibles today to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I think for most of us, there's always something special about beginning something new as we are beginning a new year today, 2017. Begin a new job, move into a new house, go to a new school. There's something special or different about a change, something new. And I thought this morning as I prayed about the message that I would try to take advantage of that and speak from a verse of Scripture that would especially speak to us along this line of something new. And I thought about the text in the book of Deuteronomy, God's words to the nation of Israel when they were about to cross over the Jordan and go into the land of Canaan that God had prepared for them. They were going to experience something they'd never experienced before, that never walked that way before. And God said this, "A land which the Lord thy God careth for," that was the land that they were going into, "a land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year." What a comfort as we begin a new year, from the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year. God, the Lord, cares for His people, and His eyes are always upon us. From the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year. And then I thought about the words of Samuel. This is one of my favorites. When he spoke to the nation of Israel and he said, "Hitherto," he raised that stone and named it Ebenezer. "Hitherto hath the Lord our God helped us." What comfort and confidence to think of the fact that the Lord has helped us hitherto till this day. And He's not going to fail us in the future. Spurgeon, commenting on this verse of Scripture, said the word "hitherto" is like a hand that points in the direction of the past, and then it also points in the direction of the future. We've traveled to this point, hitherto, but we have not yet come to the end of the road. "Hitherto hath the Lord our God helped us." And then I thought about this verse in the letter of Romans, Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, when the Apostle Paul said this, "Now," today, "now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Today, we're one day, we're one year nearer to our salvation, our complete and full salvation, that is, being raised from the dead, or changed, and receiving a body incorruptible, like unto our Lord's glorious body. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. But considering those verses and some others, I came back to these two verses here in Colossians chapter 2. Verses 6 and 7. "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." And this is a way to be rooted and to be built up in Him. Well, my message is around these four words in verse 6. Received, walk, as, and so. First, received. What is it to receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Now, the apostle here is writing to believers. And he makes the statement, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. But what is it? What is it to receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Well, we don't need to doubt about this because we have a verse of Scripture that gives us the answer. John chapter 1 and verse 12, the apostle said, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." This is what it means to receive Christ Jesus the Lord. It means to believe on His name. Now, when we read believe on His name, of course, His name represents Christ, His person, to believe on Him. This is what it is to receive Christ Jesus the Lord. It is to believe on Him, believe on His name. Now, when you look at His name here, and every title, every name that the Lord Jesus Christ has is very important. These three that are mentioned here, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Let's look at these three names. First, the name Jesus. Where did that come from? And what does it mean? Well, if you will, let's turn back in our Bibles to two places. First to Matthew chapter 1 and then to Luke chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Receive Jesus. Where did this name come from? And what does it mean? Well, you notice, and we'll look again in Luke chapter 1, you notice that this name is written in capital letters. And the translators did that to show us that this name is derived from Jehovah, the name of God, Jehoshua. Thou shalt call his name Jehoshua, which means the Lord saves. But this name, you notice, was given unto him as at his birth, Jehoshua. That's what his name means. It came from God. God sent his angel and told Joseph, the child that Mary is carrying, you shall name him Jesus. Now look in chapter 1 of Luke. You see almost the same thing, just a little bit different. Here, the angel spoke to Mary in Luke chapter 1 in verses 30 and 31. Luke chapter 1, verse 30, "And the angel said unto her," that is Mary, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor, grace with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Jehoshua, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Paul says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. First of all, his name Jesus, Jehoshua. It means Savior, Savior. And Joseph was told his name will be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He came into this world on purpose. God sent him here on purpose to save his people. He didn't come here, my friends, to make salvation possible to all the world. He came here to save his people. He shall save his people from their sins. To receive him is to believe on him, on his name, that he is Jesus. He is Jehovah manifest in the flesh. And that he has a people in this world. And how does he save those people? How does he save his people? Well, he saves us by becoming a surety for us. And that covenant that God made before the foundation of the world when his people were given unto him, in that everlasting covenant, he was designated to be the surety for his people. Which means he was responsible. He was liable to do everything that God and God's holy justice demands in order to a sinner being saved. He fulfilled God's law by his obedience, establishing, bringing in that everlasting righteousness. That righteousness which is imputed, charged, counted to everyone who trusts in him. His righteousness becomes our righteousness, trusting in him, and God declares that we are just before him. He shall save his people from his sins. This Jesus, call his name Jesus, he has to be God-man. He has to be. To believe, to receive Jesus, that he is God-man. He is man that he might die. He is God-man that he might satisfy. Not only did he obey God's holy law, satisfy God's justice, but he suffered at the hands of that justice, and he paid the sin debt of his people. Have you received Jesus? Have you? To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Do you believe on his name? His name, Jesus, God, manifest in the flesh. But that's not his only name, is it? Paul said, you have received Christ Jesus. Christ, that's his name, that's his title. That designates him as the one mediator between God and men. They're not two. Don't fall for that lie of Satan that there are two mediators. One's a mediatrix, female deity, Mary, the mother of Jesus. That's a lie, my friends. The Bible clearly teaches and declares there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He's Christ. He's anointed. That's what the word actually means, literally means anointed one. Just as all of those men in the Old Testament were anointed to certain offices, three offices, prophet, priest, and king. So Christ, he is anointed not with oil, as those Old Testament men were, but with God the Holy Spirit. He was anointed of God. At his baptism, you remember when he entered into his public ministry at the age of 30 years. the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And John tells us he was given the Spirit without measure. God's Holy Spirit anoints men to preach the gospel, to witness, to testify, to pray. Yes, we're thankful for God the Holy Spirit, but we receive only a portion. But he received the Spirit of God without measure, and the Spirit of God remained upon him, John tells us. But that's not his only name, is it? Have you received Christ? Have you? Have you received Jesus Christ? But that's not his only name. He's also the Lord. He's the Lord. Now, this name declares his supremacy, doesn't it? His sovereignty. He's not some wannabe Lord. You see these signs around, especially in churches, "Make him your Lord." Well, let me tell you something. God did that a long time ago. God made him your Lord. He made him my Lord. He made him every man's Lord. And he is not in our hands to do with him as we will, but we are in his hands to do with us what he will. Do you receive? To as many as received him as Jesus, the God-man Savior, the Christ, the anointed of God, and as the Lord. He said this, we are to deny ourselves. If we would be his disciples, we must deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. When a person denies himself, he denies that he has that right to reign and rule over himself anymore. We've got a new Lord, a new King. And he reigns, and he rules. We die to self daily. Look with me in Romans chapter 8 just a moment. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Man attended here years ago told me one day after the service, he said, you put the sweets down on the lower shelf today. And I wasn't familiar with that saying, but he reminded me that years ago people would lock the sweets up high in the cupboard so the children couldn't get to them. And he said, you put the sweets down on the lower shelf. That's what I want to do every time. But I trust I'm doing it by God's help this morning. That no one, when you leave this place today, do not realize what it is to receive Jesus Christ. For what good is it if we just come here and sing hymns and read the scripture, unless we know him, receive him, believe in him as our Lord and Savior. Here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, the apostle said, but what saith it? That is the scripture. The word is nigh thee. Now it's nigh you here today. If you're here this morning without Christ, the word is nigh thee. It's nigh thee. You've got it in your hands. You're listening to me read it. You're following along. The word of God is nigh thee. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart. Now what does it mean to receive him, to believe in him? In the heart, with the heart. But what is the heart? People say, well, that's that organ in our bodies that keeps us moving, keeps pumping blood. Yes, that's our physical heart, But the Scriptures speak about a new heart. A new heart that God gives us, and it includes the mind. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And it includes the affections, and it includes the will. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He, Christ, Jesus, the Lord, He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. With the heart, the apostle says, thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Christ, yes, He died on the cross. Yes, He died as a sinner's substitute. Yes, He carried the sins of God's people in His body on the tree. And He died, but He didn't stay dead. On the third day, He walked out of that tomb. Now notice, for with the heart. A lot of people know these facts in their head. There's no question about it. Let me tell you something. When a person believes with the heart, makes a difference in the life. Makes a difference in the life. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. That's what we need. A righteousness that God has provided. A righteousness which God accepts. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We confess the Lord Jesus Christ. With our mouths, we confess the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. We identify with Christ. Yes, we want to be known in this congregation and in the world that we are His. We're His. We identify with Him. And the way we do that is by baptism, following Him in baptism. Now, that's the first part of the text. That's the first word. As many as you have therefore received Christ Jesus. But notice the next word is the word walk. What is meant by the walk of those who receive Him? Well, the believer's walk is his manner of life. His conduct. When a person receives Christ Jesus, the Lord, he is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Martin Luther one time said, when a man is born of the Spirit of God, he receives a new heart, he's a new man, and he's living in a new world. The world is new. It's the same old world, but it looks different. It looks different when a person has a new heart. Before, we were dead in sins, and the Scripture says we walked according to the course of this world. But now, being delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, we are to walk as children of light. Children of light. Now pilgrims and strangers in this world. And our walk is to manifest the fact that our citizenship is in heaven. Our walk is to manifest this fact that our citizenship is in heaven. We're just passing through this world. We're here for a short time. We sang in that hymn earlier. We're marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Our walk, our conduct. Now, notice the passage again, Colossians 2 and verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. As you have received Him, so walk in Him. Now, let me mention a few things as to how we have received him. As we received him, first of all, by faith. By faith. We've already gone through that, haven't we? As we have received him by faith, so we must walk in him by faith. As long as we are in this world, we must walk by faith. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. If you go by feelings, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be up and you're going to be down and all around. We walk by faith. People say, well, faith is a leap into the dark. Oh, no, it's not. That's not. Faith is believing God, what he has told us in his word. It's just as sure a foundation, more sure than the world upon which we walk, the word of God. We've received him by faith, so we are to walk by faith. As we've received him by faith, so walk in him by faith. Believe his word. Receive his word. You say, well, I don't feel. Well, forget about your feelings just a moment. What does the word of God say? By faith. Our faith is based upon the word of God. If you would, in Hebrews chapter 6, just a moment. Hebrews chapter 6. And verse 17. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, his oath and his counsel, two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we, those of us who have received Christ, that we might have a strong consolation, notice, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. What is that hope that we've fled to lay hold upon? Christ, he's our hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. All other ground is sinking sand. We fled, the scripture here says, by faith. We fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now notice which hope, Christ, we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. Where's he today? He's entered into the holy place, my friends. He's the forerunner. He's our hope. We lay hold upon him, and just as sure as he's there today, so those of us who receive him, we too one day shall be there. We've got a strong assurance. We've got God's counsel, his revealed will, and we've got an oath. We began this walk by looking unto Jesus, and the Apostle Paul tells us, looking unto Jesus, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So, as we received him by faith, so walk in him. Number two, we received him with repentance. Now, faith and repentance, they always go together. You never have faith without repentance. You never have true repentance without faith. And we received him with repentance, so we must and we should continue to walk in him with repentance. So many times, especially in false religion, there's so much in false religion anyway that ought to be swept out the door, but in false religion, people imply that a person repents one time and that's it. That's past one time. No, repentance, my friends, it begins in our initial conversion to Christ, yes, but it continues throughout our life. As we have received Him, how did we receive Him? By faith, turning from our sins, turning to God, changing our mind about God and about ourselves and about sin and about this world. So we are to walk, to continue to repent. And as long as we are in this world, we're going to have cause for repentance. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But thank God, the Apostle John tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I thought about a new year. God is the God of new beginnings, isn't He? New beginnings. We can't change yesterday. We can't do anything about yesterday, my friends. It's gone. Forget about it the best you can. Be like the Apostle Paul. Forgetting about those things which are behind me, I press on to the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Number two, we received Him in spirit. Number three, we received Him in spiritual poverty. The Scripture said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." When we received Him, did we have anything to offer? Did we have anything in our hands? As Top Lady said, "In my hands, nothing I bring." We were poor, bankrupt, spiritually bankrupt. We didn't have 2 cents to rub together in order to satisfy, to please God. We came to Him empty. Well, as you received Him empty, so walk in Him. Every day, realize that without Him, we can do nothing. That's what our Lord said. In ourselves, we are weaker than water. We are weakness personified. But I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Mary, in her song, she said, "He hath filled the hungry with good things." We come to Him hungry, empty. He hath filled the hungry with good things. But she also said this, and the rich He sent away empty. People think they're going to come to Christ and they have so much to offer. The only thing you have to offer, the only thing I have to offer is our sin. That's it. We come to Him spiritually bankrupt. As we received Him. And He doesn't turn any away, does He? He doesn't turn any away who come to Him in such a condition. He hath filled the hungry with good things. Are you hungry? I need to be careful about asking questions like that. Sometimes children will answer out. Here's a fourth thing. We received Him with thanksgiving and gratitude. Oh, we were so thankful. We were so thankful that He would take us in. We didn't have anything. We were loaded down with guilt and sin. We were like that woman in the Gospels when the Lord Jesus Christ told her, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Great is thy faith. We came to Him empty, and we received Him with thanksgiving and gratitude that He would take us in. Look at verse 7. The apostle said, "Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught." Now notice, "abounding therein with thanksgiving." Thanksgiving. To think that God would send His Son into this world to save me. You talk about amazing grace. Amazing grace. That His Son would bleed and die to save me. Amazing grace. That God the Holy Spirit would come to someone like me and live, dwell in me, in you. Amazing grace. Abounding with thanksgiving. And the last thing, and there are many other things that could be mentioned, but we received Him with anticipation. Anticipation that He would soon come for us. This is what He said to His disciples. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now we should walk as we received Him with anticipation that He is going to soon come and receive us unto Himself. We look forward to that day. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. Well, I pray that the Lord would bless His Word, and the Lord reveals Himself to you, that you would confess that and follow Christ in baptism. We're going